You know, sometimes, guys, we need to be reminded that things can get worse. The story can get absolutely more horrendous. The plot can thicken further than it already has. And we're going to be diving into the Balenciaga story once again, looking into their horrific ad campaign that they put out featuring what seems to be child corn, we'll say. Let's get into it. All right, we're back. So last week we spoke about a story out of Balenciaga from a very weird, disgusting ad campaign that they put out in tandem with Adidas. This is something that people are not talking about enough. It's not just Balenciaga, it's Balenciaga and Adidas. So if you own either of those companies' products, you might want to rethink it after watching this. Here is the ad campaign, some of the pictures. Luckily, this face is blurred, but that is obviously a little child holding what is a fetish gear covered teddy bear purse on a bed that has things like, oh, sunglasses, oh, a bunny, oh, a bag, but really strategically placed sunglasses and bunnies and bags that looks a lot like a kink setup. So that's interesting. Here's another photo out of Balenciaga, and you might think this is just a purse laying on a desk with some files and papers on it. But if you zoom in and actually look at what these papers are, they are legal documents detailing a court case about virtual child pornography. We're going to use that word from here on out during the show. Don't want to get flagged for discussing something like this. Did not think this would be something we'd be talking about on the show, but clearly this is a story that needs to be talked about. We covered it last week, and Balenciaga put out these images, deleted all of them once they got outraged, and sort of just went, oh, sorry. We didn't mean to put those out there. We had no idea. It's not like we went through this entire creative process of coming up with this ad campaign, hiring the children that were going to be featured in the ad campaign, bringing on production designers, stylists, photographers, the parents of these children, presumably, to bring them on set, watch them get shot for this ad campaign. Then you have photo editing, Photoshop, where all these images go through different design and detail oriented fixings, and the approval process. Not only the approval of the idea, but the execution of that idea and the posting of it to the internet, both on the Balenciaga website and on their Instagram and social media pages, where they were subsequently deleted. So how many adult eyes had to see this campaign, see the ideas behind it, see the imagery and the files and the papers that were utilized in this campaign, and approve that before Balenciaga decided to put that out on the internet? I would speculate and say many, many adult eyes had to see this and approve it for it to go out. And now here we are. Balenciaga is backing away in the face of the backlash that they're getting on this, and we will get to what is a truly half-assed apology on this. But first, let's talk about who's behind some of this that is going on here. Who are the creative people who are pushing this? Who came up with the ideas? Let's talk first about a woman by the name of Lotta Volkova. She happens to be the main stylist for Balenciaga and has been since 2014. Apparently, allegedly, has had a relationship with an accused pedophile. And here are some images that Lotta Volkova has participated in, put out on the internet. Interesting. Very devilish red suit, carrying babies covered in blood on her hands. And we're going to get into a conversation here about fashion and art and artistic creativity and license and how far you can go with what you consider to be an artistic choice. And we'll talk about that, because there's something to be said that a lot of time throughout history, artists have been accused of being freaks and being weird, so maybe artists in the modern day are giving in to that accusation and just launching these full-fledged campaigns where they're very unabashedly showing things that are really unpleasing to the eye. Or whether or not we have an underbelly of them normalizing what they are engaging in. Is it child pornography? Is it child exploitation that they are just outwardly exposing to people and saying, I think this is normal, why not buy our products in this ad campaign that we've put out for you? Could be a mixture of both. And that's what I'm starting to think it is. Here's another photo from her Instagram. And guys, we're just getting started here. This is the light stuff. This is the charcuterie board before the main course that you guys are getting right now. Here's her eating something, some sort of bony thing with the hashtag cannibal Lotta. I don't know whether or not she engages in that sort of activity. Just interesting that this seems to be a recurring theme throughout her Instagram posts. Something that she seems to be into, maybe just in an artistic sense, but who knows. Let's move on and look at some of her other Instagram posts. That's interesting. Hashtag that kind of morning. Do you remember the last time you had that kind of morning, Taylor?
I'm speechless.
Yeah. I don't think this is a typical morning for anybody. Here's another one of her posts. Hashtag jet lag. And this seems to be a recurring theme. I should probably disclaim. Some of you guys might not want to look at some of the stuff that she posts. Might not be good for your eyes. And certainly if you're a child, you shouldn't be watching this. So here's another post. She seems to be a recurring theme of showing children in very vividly disgusting, horrific, violent scenarios on her Instagram page. Here's another one. Hashtag holidays, this one says on it. We'll move on from that one very quickly. Another one of some woman, presumably, in bondage on her Instagram. And again, we're just getting started. Here's more. There's another child, lots of children being featured in this, but it's art, right, guys? It's art. Here's another, and another interesting one, with a comment from Marc Jacobs, another elite fashion designer who makes millions and millions of dollars from consumers buying his bags and other products. And his comments, so good. So good, Marc Jacobs. Comments on the Instagram there. So that's Lotta Volkova. Like you said, head stylist for Balenciaga, very much responsible for the ad campaign that you guys saw. And here's this next one. This is Demna, a very popular individual on Instagram who is the creative director of Balenciaga, who has posted, you know, the things that he's working on. We all know what that looks like. We're going to skip that really quickly. Don't want to linger too long on that young girl's face. And this picture, have a good day, everyone, with the featured fetish bear in the different Balenciaga ad campaign photos that you all saw last week and today. So there seems to be a distinct culture of this sort of stuff, and I went down a rabbit hole, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, looking into this, looking into other fashion designers and people who work in this industry, artists, so they say, who are engaged in this, all the different celebrities who work with these people, which the list is just insane. It used to be Kanye, no longer, because he's no longer associated to Balenciaga and Adidas, because they're not okay with the tweets that he put out, but they're totally okay with child exploitation. So Kanye's tweets gets him a cutoff relationship with Balenciaga and Adidas right in the nick of time, might I add. But child exploitation, make sure you're back at work on Monday at 9 a.m. Here's another thing that Demna posted on Instagram. This is a quote. Quote, someone wrote that Lotta Volkova, another name, Gasha Rubchinsky, and I grew up on child pornography and radiation from Chernobyl, which is why we're all so effed up. Demna. It's a direct quote. Posted on the Instagram too. Now, if you go to his Instagram and try to find these photos now, they're gone, which is super convenient. Luckily, screenshots are also very convenient. So all of this was out on the internet and openly for quite some time. It's honestly amazing to me that this has not been caught on sooner, and that people had not seen this trend happening within fashion sooner, and now it's being coined hashtag Fashiongate, which we're going to go through this whole thing of being called conspiracy theorists, even though it's right there in front of your eyes.
It literally is. It gives you like Epstein vibes or you know, Weinstein, of like things you that were going on. All the signals were there, but it took a certain moment or something to really have people look into it and for it to get the scrutiny that it certainly deserves. But like you said, there's certainly room for exploration and being provocative within art, but there's also a line, and all this stuff is way, way over that line.
Yes, and again, how many eyes had to see it and post it and say that this is okay and put it out? And it begs the question, how long has this been going on? How long have these ideas been in this sort of industry? And the answer is for a very long time if you look into this. And that's not all. There's more. But wait, there's more. Here's another Balenciaga photo that was put out. You're like, oh, normal. Cute bag. Cute little coat. Love it. What a cute outfit in her little office setting. If you zoom in on the books here that are featured in this, because they love just subliminal messaging, it seems, you're going to see a book from Michael Bormans. And if you look up this guy, he has art that heavily features just naked children in very grotesque positions, so grotesque that Google blurs it out for you so that your eyes do not have to meet his artistic imagery, his creativity, his genius, I guess some would call it. So why does Balenciaga feel the need, not just in one campaign with Adidas, but in multiple campaigns to sprinkle in child exploitation in subliminal messages? Can anybody answer that for me? And it's so strange that they feel so comfortable being open about it now. What does that mean for the past of this company and what other seemingly elites have been engaging in behind the closed doors that they now feel comfortable enough to put this in an ad campaign? And I don't know that they weren't expecting the backlash that they got from this. Maybe they weren't expecting people to notice. Or even worse, they're putting out an ad campaign knowing that they are going to get this sort of backlash from people and anticipating it and using it as a boost for their company, which also seems to be working because everybody's talking about it. How could you not with what's going on? And they're coming out and saying, we're going to do something about this. We know this is super controversial. We did not know this was going to go out, and we will find out who is responsible for this. You are a multi-million dollar, if not billion dollar, I believe billion dollar company at this point, Balenciaga. You didn't know? You don't strategically look at your ad campaigns and have multiple positions of hierarchy to look over them and approve them before they're put out? Are we supposed to believe you just independently hired somebody who decided, I'm just going to ruin this company for the rest of its lifetime, if it even exists beyond this point? So Balenciaga says, we're going to do something about this. And they've apparently filed a $25 million suit against producers of the controversial BDSM teddy bear ad campaign. But what about the other ad campaigns? Because this is just one of many, it seems, from the photos that people are going through and finding. What about your creative director and your head stylist who are repeatedly posting images of children being exploited, brutalized, tortured, sexualized in many different manners? What about those people? Are they going to be sued? Are they going to be brought to task for this? Are they going to be fired? Are you guys no longer going to engage in this sort of activity? Or are you just going to go back to doing it behind closed doors and hoping that nobody finds out, which is seemingly what's been happening this entire time? And they tried to cover this up. Let's read Balenciaga's beautiful apology. We would like to address the controversy surrounding our recent ad campaigns. We strongly condemn child abuse, except when we put it in ad campaigns to make millions off of our consumers. It was never our intent to include it in our narrative. The two separate ad campaigns in question, again, the two separate ad campaigns in question, reflect a series of grievous errors for which Balenciaga takes responsibility. The first campaign, the gift collection campaign, featured children with plush bear bags dressed in what some have labeled BDSM-inspired outfits. Some have labeled. Our plush bear bags and the gift collection should not have been featured with children. This was a wrong choice by Balenciaga, combined with our failure in assessing and validating images. The responsibility for this lies with Balenciaga alone. The second separate campaign for spring 2023, which was meant to replicate a business office environment, included a photo with a page in the background from a Supreme Court ruling, United States versus Williams, 2008, which confirms as illegal and not protected by freedom of speech the promotion of child pornography. All the items included in this shooting were provided by third parties that confirmed in writing that these props were fake office documents. They turned out to be real legal papers, most likely coming from the filming of a television drama. The inclusion of these unapproved documents was the result of reckless negligence for which Balenciaga has filed a complaint. We take full accountability for our lack of oversight and control of the documents in the background, and we could have done things differently. While internal and external investigations are ongoing, we are taking the following actions. One, we are closely revising our organization and collective ways of working. We are reinforcing the structures around our creative processes and validation steps. We want to ensure that new controls mark a pivot and will prevent this from happening again. We are laying the groundwork with organizations who specialize in child protection and aims at ending child abuse and exploitation. We want to learn from our mistakes and identify ways we can contribute. Balenciaga reiterates its sincere apologies for the offenses we have caused and extends its apologies to talents and partners. Do you guys feel like accepting that apology? Because Balenciaga is just going to erase their Instagram post, which I believe they erased everything, okay? They started posting again, got caught again in the things that they were posting, and then went, so sorry it happened again a second time. So sorry about that. Let's put out an apology. Also, we're going to throw some money to a charity for child exploitation and hope that that makes you pull the wool back over your eyes and keep buying from us. Not that I ever had enough money to buy from Balenciaga in the first place.
I know. That's the joke about this whole thing is I will never be buying Balenciaga after this scandal. It's like, not that I was.
Gonna not buy it even harder.
Yeah.
Tears.
But no, this whole thing reeks of like a carefully crafted, you know, corporate press team statement. This is just something that there's no coming back from. And I just think it's so interesting that like JP Morgan Chase froze Kanye's $75 million bank account in response to his comments, which, you know, which is worse, you can maybe argue, but both are unacceptable. Anti-Semitism, child exploitation, however you slice it. But where's the same energy with Balenciaga being canceled? Because, you know, we're not big purveyors of cancel culture on this, but this is a case in which you cross the line. You have deliberately in your brand promoted the exploitation of children for all the intents and purposes. You've done that, and I don't see how you can come back from this. And issuing a corporate sounding, carefully worded apology, it feels pretty disingenuous, and I don't think people are buying it. We put a poll here in the chat. Do you accept Balenciaga's apology? 94% of you say no, 6% say yes.
Right. Oh, but you said the N-word when you were 13 years old. Canceled. You're never going to work again. Your family has ostracized you. Your community is not talking to you anymore. You are wiped off the face of the earth and deplatformed. Yet Balenciaga can put out an ad campaign like this and nothing happens. Nothing happens. They just get to apologize and things go back to normal, which I'm waiting to see. Because we'll wait. We'll wait before we say nothing has happened. I really want to wait and see how this company is affected by this. And remember, it is not just Balenciaga. It is also Adidas that has worked on this campaign with them. So a whole new company with a whole new set of eyes, with their own approving structure for these photographs being put out, also approved this. Two massive, massive companies. And Kim Kardashian, of course, has a direct relationship with Balenciaga and has children, which we all know and are aware of. And so many people have said, hey, Kim, how do you feel about this company that you're working for exploiting children when you are a mother? And even if you aren't a mother, this should be of concern to you, having a relationship with this company. And people waited and waited, and heard nothing from Kim Kardashian. Now, she just put out a statement. Let's read it and see how we feel about this. I have been quiet for the past few days, not because I haven't been disgusted and outraged by the recent Balenciaga campaigns, but because I wanted an opportunity to speak to their team to understand for myself how this could have happened. Okay, that's why you waited. Right, right. Let's figure out how the child exploitation ad campaign came out first. Sure. Okay, let's keep reading. As a mother of four, I've been shaken by the disturbing images. The safety of children must be held with the highest regard, and any attempts to normalize child abuse of any kind should have no place in our society. Period. Okay. So does Balenciaga still have a place on your payroll? Let's see. I appreciate Balenciaga's removal of the campaigns and apology. In speaking with them, I believe they understand the seriousness of the issue and will take the necessary measures for this to never happen again. As for my future with Balenciaga, I am currently reevaluating my relationship with the brand, basing it off of their willingness to accept accountability for something that should have never happened to begin with, and the actions I am expecting to see them take to protect children. Which is just the elite way of doing everything right. Get caught in something wrong and then go, here's money towards the thing, the problem that I'm perpetuating. Here's the money. I did it. Did that fix it? Oh, thank you. Thank you for continuing to work with me. I've learned. I have now unlearned and relearned, and I will continue to dedicate myself to this issue for the rest of my lifetime, even though I'm perpetuating it. So, not great from Kim Kardashian. Not that we expected anything great to come from Kim Kardashian, especially when you have so much money tied to the relationship that you have with Balenciaga and the future, as she puts it, that she has with Balenciaga. Now, I'm wondering if she's going to get so much backlash that she's going to be forced to just cut ties with them.
I think so. I think she made a miscalculation here, but it's like, why, if you're Kim Kardashian, why even risk it? Like, what's the impulse to say, I'm going to reevaluate my relationship depending on how they accept accountability for this? It's like they've already, yeah, exactly. Well, is it that she's making the money off of it though, or is it something more?
I mean, who knows at this point what the relationship is like with that company? I mean, you already have the severed ties with Kanye West, which I imagine she's in some way, shape, or form linked to, as they were married when these deals were going through. And now she has her own future relationship with Balenciaga that she's not willing to cut ties with. Just so interesting. The threshold for getting canceled or boycotted for certain things versus actual, what could lead to illegal activity. I guess we can't call this illegal activity, even though I don't know what's going to happen. Something's going to happen with this, hopefully, where people start to say this is absolutely unacceptable. And I think enough people are making an uproar about this now. She's not going to live it down for quite some time, although we do have that cyclical thing that we do where things pop into the news and then we yell about them for 2 weeks and then we get over them. And Kim goes back to selling Balenciaga, and Balenciaga goes back to probably hiding child exploitation, subliminal messaging in their images, which they've done pretty good job at doing so far. Yeah, not acceptable. As a mother too, come on. How do you not see something like that and go, I don't care how much money I am getting from this company. Does not matter. The tie is cut. And she has plenty of money to cushion that blow.
Yeah, that's what's suspicious to me is like you don't need the money from this deal to stay afloat, Kim Kardashian. You could very easily cut ties with this brand and survive it. And if I'm Kim Kardashian, I'm like more concerned about the damage to my brand that I have to maintain, because that's what, let's be honest, that's her most valuable asset, is her whole brand and image. And to risk that for what? To stand with someone who is responsible for perpetrating sexualization of children in their advertising, at least, and then all this other baggage that comes with that. Like, what? I don't get the impulse to, let me just see how this goes, let me just stand by them a little bit longer, with especially after how quickly she was willing to cut with Kanye over a tweet.
Well, she does have very, very strong ties. So these are images from the Met Gala in 2021. Who's by her side? Dude, it's the creative director of Balenciaga, Demna. And
this is where it gets to be like, okay, this is starting to get weird. I mean, it already's been weird, but this is like really weird.
Right. Like, you don't want to be conspiratorial because obviously she's a celebrity. She's a celebrity. She has strong ties to Balenciaga. If she's going to have somebody style her, it's going to be the creative director of Balenciaga. We get it. Okay. But my gosh.
Wasn't that full face covering thing, like an image that is associated with one from that book that was in the ad pictures?
Let me see if I can find it. It's getting very, very strange. So yeah, remember that image that I just showed you of what Kim was wearing, and I'm going to try to find this other guy's stuff that he had put together of where that idea for that outfit came from. It's from the guy that I spoke about earlier, whose name I believe is Michael Borlmans, and has those images on Google that are so explicit that even Google blurs it for you, and you are not allowed to see what was posted there. So he also has an image of a black suit that covers the face and the entire body, much like that image we just saw of Kim Kardashian at the Met Gala, this one here. And I will try to pull it up throughout the show at some point so that you guys can see it. But it does seem to be clearly inspired by that man's artwork, if we want to even call it that. And very, very similar. There's also pictures of Kim's daughter, North, wearing what looks like a gimp suit styled outfit, also Balenciaga, and her daughter in an outfit like that. And you can say, oh, it's art, it's stylish, it's so cool, and it's so cool to have kids be in these avant-garde art pieces, and it really tears down what is the societal norm. But some things are the societal norm for a reason. You know, some forms of civility, like not exposing children to this sort of imagery and certainly not having their likeness in this imagery, that's a societal norm that is here to stay. And the people who are trying to change that need to be called out for trying to change that, especially when they do so in such a public manner. Now, you would expect a bunch of celebrities to come out and say, disgusting, I can't believe what's happening with Balenciaga, but Hollywood in general has been pretty quiet on this. We even have Nicole Kidman, who on the day that this story broke, for the most part, decided to post her Balenciaga campaign.
Tagging Demna,
right there. And in a very similar style to the other photos that we saw, the office setting, the girl leisurely laying in the office with the child exploitation images or in book titles behind her. Very, very strange. And it could be that they are just trying to run cover on this and reaching out to whoever they know who's been part of a campaign and saying, please post, please cover this up, please. Please have some sort of positive energy coming towards us in the midst of this public breakdown of our image. So Nicole Kidman posts that on the same day. Hard to believe that she's not aware of what's being said about this company.
Yeah, and again, it's like, yeah, why go out of your way to associate yourself with this brand right now and not, and you should be distancing yourself actively, but instead you're posting the picture on the day the story broke and standing by it, making no other mention of any of the issues around it. And it's like, you're answerable for this because you are deliberately associating yourself with this brand at this moment.
Right. And luckily people are commenting, shame on you. How can you proudly stand by this brand as a mother? As a mother. These women are, Kim Kardashian and Nicole Kidman are mothers. What are they doing? And here's a part that we should mention. It could be contractual agreement. And I don't know what breaking a legal contract with these companies look like and how they could go after you in a court. So I will give them at least that. But I think they have enough money to absorb a hit like that.
Yeah, and usually when you're making contracts for you, there's clauses to like protect against if there's egregious like right. You know, damage to your public image or
you
something that you would be able to sever ties in that way. But yeah, even so, it's just there's so much smoke around all this stuff. And we already knew Hollywood's weird around this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I just saw a TikTok today that was like, it's like, quote unquote, Hollywood's not satanic is like the word over it. And then the guy just like, you know, hits the camera or whatever. And it's like all these images back to back to back of like all these celebrities with like Miley Cyrus with like third eye painting and Lil Nas in his video
blood
dressed
shoes.
Up like Satan. And
yeah,
making the shoes with blood in them. And it's just like, boom, 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 boom. And it's just, there's, again, artists are weird, but that's going beyond. And there seems, that's what's weird about this whole conversation. We were talking about it earlier, is there seems to be, it's like, for lack of a better way of saying it, there's like getting off on being so deliberately violative and mm-hmm. so like in your face. It's not just we believe in this stuff, or not just that we have an interest in this stuff behind closed doors. It's that, no, I have to put that little document there that references the court case that deals with child pornography.
Yeah.
I have to put that in my ad, because that is, it's like, even if no one notices, but I want you to notice, or I get off on putting it there or something. It's just like, it's, that's right. Where it gets weird for me. It's like, why?
It's, do you, it's, there's two questions. It's, do you have an interest in this that you just feel the need? You have such a deep interest in this stuff that you feel the need to try to normalize it and put it in the work that you're doing? Or are you playing into the accusations that artists get? Because I know a lot of artists have all out history, have been accused of being satanic, of dedicating themselves to the occult. And it's certainly been fetishized and glamorized within a lot of artistic communities of, oh, I'm going to play even harder into this because the internet's going to hate it and they're going to hate me for it. And then they end up getting more fame and glamour from doing those things, and they get more eyeballs on their work. So I think that's an element of it. But to do so consistently, just all the time, is very strange. And in a way that is not just scratching the surface. You know, if you wanted to be salacious and do something eye-catching for people, you would, I don't know, dress yourself up as the devil and make a photo shoot of it. These people are like referencing old school books about like occult rituals and people who have dedicated their lives and their all of their philosophical thinking to the occult for the most part, making these videos and I mean, making these pieces of art. So, you know, you guys know I'm not a religious person, but it's weird. Dude, it is weird.
Yeah.
And again, it could just be that they're playing into the accusations that they get all the time. And part of it is just, I want to be as avant-garde as possible. But the child exploitation stuff, really strange.
Yeah, and it's, really again, weird. It's like, it's not in your interest from a, like, profitability capital. You're literally, yeah, like, risking the value of your brand. You're risking everything that your whole career is staked on to make this. It's so important to you, or you have such a compulsive need to put this stuff in your advertising and in your work, that you're literally like doing it when it's against your own interest financially, or ostensibly. Unless, and this is where it also gets weird, when you talk about, you know, who's their clientele? It's elites. And
yes,
so it's not necessarily that they're responsive to the market. They're marketing to the weirdos who are already in Hollywood, who might already be into this stuff too. So that's where it gets like, okay, their target audience is not the masses that are disgusted by this. It's a very small cadre of elites.
It is very
that could be complicit in all this.
This is worse than Mattress Firm.
Yes,
this is way worse than Mattress Firm.
Which, if you missed that, we broached the subject of the Mattress Firm conspiracy theory, which isn't really a conspiracy theory. But
no.
Go check out the short on our channel about it. It's kind of just like a funny thing. But this is something closer to reality.
I could do like so many videos about this. There's just another lady that's name kept popping up. She's done a little bit of work with Adidas, but mainly with like Vogue, and she is an artist, so they say. Her name is Marina Abramovic, I think. Abramovic or something like that. Very strange woman. She does something called spirit cooking, which is an art installation that she engages in, where elites essentially, again, warning for some of these images, come and eat around the bodies and the heads of people in some weird ritualistic manner. Here's her with Jared Leto.
Of course.
Here's her with Lady Gaga.
Wait, what?
Engaging in spirit cooking. And she's also done work with Adidas and Vogue and in the fashion industry. And she does all these very strange art installations. You might have heard of her because she did an art installation that lasted a couple days, where she just like sat at a desk staring directly straight forward and invited people to sit in front of her for as long as they like. And a lot of very famous people came and sat in front of her in this ritualistic performative art thing where they just like sat, somebody sat in front of her for a full 24 hours in like this hard chair just for this art installation, as thousands of people came and watched her. She's done art installations where you like walk over it and people underneath the installation are touching themselves. And that is apparently art, performative art, that this lady engages in. And when you look up articles about Demna and Lotta and all the, her name pops up a lot. It's so weird.
It is so. I feel like our feed's going to get cut any second if we're talking about this stuff.
We're done. Like,
we're going to kick us off. We'll be on InfoWars.
Oh my gosh.
This is getting wild.
Yeah, it's so wild. And look this girl up and like go to her Wikipedia page and read through some of the work that she's done and just some of the celebrities that have engaged with her work and come to see them. And you can't necessarily tie the celebrities, even though when you see a picture like this, it's very difficult. That is Lady Gaga at her spirit cooking thing, engaging in this. And she has papers about spirit cooking and why she does it. And when asked whether or not she engages in occult rituals and whether or not that is something that she finds herself subservient to, she said it depends on the context. If you are doing it as an art installation in front of people in a performative manner where you are inviting people into a public space or private space to watch what you're doing, that is considered art. And then she stated that if you are doing it in private, outside of the eyes of the public or for people to come and watch, then it is considered occult. And I have a feeling, based on some of the pictures that we're seeing here and what I've read about her spirit cooking things, that she does many, many a private event.
Yeah, what's it called if you do both? Hollywood.
Oh, gosh.
This is not okay.
Yeah, and not directly related to Balenciaga, but I thought I would just sprinkle that in there because I've been seeing stuff about this for a really long time. And you know who she invited to one of her spirit cooking things? Podesta brother.
Okay, I was actually going to mention, because when you mentioned the spirit cooking thing, mm-hmm. it totally brought up memories of the leaked emails, the Hillary's emails mm-hmm. from 2016, mm-hmm. and there was stuff about spirit cooking in those emails. Am I right?
Yes. Are you guys in on it? Like, do y'all pick up what I'm putting down? Yeah, literally. It's so weird. Yeah, and this is on, you can just go on her Wikipedia and read about her spirit cooking rituals and read about the people who go and engage with her art installations and stuff. And it literally says she invited the Podesta brothers to her spirit cooking.
How much of this is just like billionaires and elites are too bored and too powerful and too rich for their own good, and so they go out of their way to do stuff like this. Like, I saw a TikTok recently of a girl who was explaining, she was like a model or whatever that was like hired to go to a billionaire's birthday party with a bunch of other models. Mm-hmm. And they basically were like paying these models like $1,000 a piece to like eat disgusting, like, you know, raw pig intestines or crazy like stuff like that. They're just like, hey, if you do this, you'll get $1,000. And so it's like this weird, like degrading, like you're getting off on this like gross debase type of stuff and just your power over these people that you can exercise with your money. And it just gets so weird.
Maybe their threshold for just being excited about something is so high because mm-hmm. of how much money they have and because of what they're engaged in.
It must be.
A weird another tangential point on this.
We're just going way down the rabbit hole today.
I can't, you guys. I have to say. So this lady here, Marina Abramović, who's featured here with Jared Leto, is also super close friends with James Franco. And this just blows my mind. So James Franco, like, loves her art installations, came to visit her through many of her performative art phases or whatever. She's done work with Jay-Z, another thing, and they went through a whole bit of drama with their stuff. But anyways, so James Franco, super.
You were ready for this one today.
I was so ready for this one. Whenever it's just like weird celebrity elite stuff, I'm like, I'm on top of it. Anyways, so James Franco, we all know, came up a whole bunch during the Amber Heard case. And Amber Heard, I don't know why this wasn't more like widely publicized. I guess it's people's private lives. I get it, but it's still weird. Amber Heard and James Franco would do these things called like cuddle puddles. And cuddle puddles are when like these, it doesn't always have to be elite people, but these elites like come together to engage in sexual activities with one another. And she spoke about this openly in court. Her doing cuddle puddles. I don't know if Elon was also engaged in this with her, but she totally talked about doing that. And to be like in that relationship with James Franco, James Franco's really into this art girl who does these spirit cooking crazy crap.
Oh, man. The tangled webs we weave. Y'all need to go to church, man. This is getting funky. Just, I don't know.
I know, like, this could all be unrelated, and this could all just be individual people who are into their own individual weird things who just all happen to know each other.
But probably but it also not.
Oh, wow. Man. Anyways, if you guys want a more at-length discussion into these things and into stuff that you can readily find on the internet, which is just blows my mind how open some of these people are about what they do. If you want more of that, I'm more than happy to explain.
You know, you come into work on a Monday and you're just going to do your live podcast and maybe, you know, debunk some CRT arguments or bad ideologies right out there and just minding your own business. And then you get confronted with all this weird, borderline, pedophilic, crazy stuff that celebrities eating weird things at parties and just blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I just got this super chat, speaking of which. This is from Fourth 1000. Says, Hillary Clinton was invited to the spirit cooking too. She declined and said that she would, quote, be sacrificing small children to Moloch in her leaked emails. Now, I can't speak to the validity of that particular email, but she does, in her leaked emails, talk a whole lot about Moloch. And for those of you who don't know what that is, we're going to have to do that in a whole other video. But that is wild.
It's like an ancient god that you sacrifice children to, basically.
Yes. And Moloch is heavily featured in a lot of these like ritualistic things that these elite people engage themselves in. And they view him as just like this higher being. I know I sound batshit crazy.
I mean, but they're giving you plenty of reason to go there.
Literally. It's almost like at this point, you can't call this
conspiratorial. No.
I mean, you can call some of the extra fluff that I added, some of the extra details that I've given to you. Maybe that's all coincidence. Maybe it's all a coincidence. But probably not. Anyways. The View did a take on Balenciaga and their sexualization of children, and it's a very lukewarm one. Let's listen to that.
What's going on here?
I found this ad campaign particularly distasteful in this moment. So there's growing anti-LGBTQ sentiment right now. And how it's being framed is as portraying, you know, trans people as groomers. This is a term you'll hear on the far right. They're groomers. This is where you get the anti-drag queen stuff that we're seeing. So Balenciaga played right into their hands by having kids in a sexualized manner, carrying something that represents, you know, sex acts. I think it was a really bad misstep at a moment where it's just kind of a dangerous time to even give credence to those kind of insane takes.
What did she? Let's play that again. Let's play that one more time.
Distasteful in this moment.
Distasteful in this moment. Are you saying that there's a moment where it's not distasteful to show children with BDSM fetish gear surrounding them? Distasteful in this moment. And I saw this and I was like, who is this chick? Like, who is this saying this? So I'm like, oh, let me look her up. Let me look up her name. She worked for the Trump administration as a director of strategic communications and assistant to the president. What the hell? Who got this girl to give this take on The View? Now let's continue listening.
There's growing anti-LGBTQ sentiment right now, and how it's being framed is as portraying, you know, trans people as groomers. This is a term you'll hear on the far right. They're groomers. This is where you get the anti-drag queen stuff that we're seeing. So Balenciaga played right into their hands.
Balenciaga played right into their hands. First of all, this is how I know I would have never been hired to be on The View. Because if this is what they're using to represent a conservative belief on this thing, that is wild. I would have torn into Balenciaga on this. And to say Balenciaga is just playing into the hand of some sort of conspiratorial thinking on the political right, that's BS. In fact, they're just doing what they've been called out for and just there it is on a silver platter for you. It's not playing into the hand of the accusation. The accusation is made because they're doing it. It's so wild. And she links it to like anti-LGBT, anti-trans. In my opinion, those things were not correlated right. in this whatsoever until she just said that. This is simply a corporation, a company, putting out what is not just distasteful, disgusting, and not for the moment, for any moment ever in human history, sexualizing children is wrong. That's what they've done.
Right. It's like you're making the connection between Balenciaga and LGBTQ community.
Right.
No one else was making that connection until you did. So you're introducing that in this conversation. And again, this is like a typical thing you'll see, which apparently she's not a leftist, but you know, I mean, this, if this is the views idea of a conservative, then I mean, we're pretty much is a leftist, but it's always the issue's not the issue. It's so it's, let's not talk about Balenciaga. My take isn't about condemning Balenciaga. It's about how this story plays into the hands of the political opposition or of the right wing people who are anti-grooming, which is like the facially that this story just represents that there's more evidence to support and bolster that point. But if that's your reaction to the story other than, wow, this is a horrific thing that's happening and it deserves to be condemned unequivocally. Like, it's not a question of how this affects politics. It's a question of right or wrong. And this is wrong. So just say it's wrong and move it on.
Yeah. Like, you're playing right into their hand, Balenciaga. Next time, be more quiet about your sexualization of children. Don't play right into the hand of the accusation that is being made day in and day out about this sort of ideology infiltrating all of our major spheres of influence. Let's keep listening. There's more.
Having kids in a sexualized manner, carrying something that represents, you know, sex acts, I think it was a really bad misstep at a moment where it's just kind of a dangerous time to even give credence to those kind of insane takes.
It's just, it just seems like they briefed this story in their morning meeting, like, guys, we have to cover Balenciaga, but I'm going to need you to tap dance around your true feelings on this as much as possible so as to not hurt our relationship with this company. That's what it sounds like, because she just ballerina danced around what the true point is, and that this is disgusting and they should be condemned for it.
Yeah, I mean, we can't even show the picture because it's so distasteful. But what's also very distasteful is like Balenciaga lately, I mean, their stuff is just ugly. I mean, the bag that their little girl is holding is ugly. Do you remember when Kim K was dressed in Balenciaga for the gala?
She loves
for the
it.
Met gala.
Black,
like,
the,
look at that.
Black.
Oh, yeah, she looked like a bat or something. I mean, so they are. What?
Just total sidestepping the issue at hand.
I feel like they had to. Like, there's no way this is the take that you guys came up with.
But like, again, it's the same question I have for, like, Kim Kardashian of why she stood by. I'm like, why do you need to sidestep this issue? It's not complicated. Right. It's not unclear morally, like, what the right statement is on this. Just condemn it. Why not just condemn it?
Why not just condemn it? So strange, and wow, what a lukewarm take on this whole entire thing. I think that's it for our Balenciaga coverage. We took the whole show. Hopefully this has been explained and we've taken you farther down the rabbit hole than you've ever wanted to go. We're going to quickly touch on Elon Musk and some drama that he's getting into. Here's a tweet from Watcher.guru. It says, Apple takes 30% tax from app developers who make over $1 million through the App Store on an annual basis. Apple's App Store is the equivalent to a 30% tax on the internet. And Elon quote tweeted saying, did you know Apple puts a secret 30% tax on everything you buy through the App Store? And I love how the new, like, Twitter fact checker is just like normal people talking. Like, this is not a secret. Apple takes a 30% fee from all sales made through their in-app purchase system, which accounts for processing. It's not a tax.
Yeah, it's much better that form of fact checking, because it's community based as opposed to Twitter's team that colludes with the government or whomever it may be to add context to these. Now the context is like crowdsourced.
Yeah.
Which is the best way to do it.
Yeah, because they're even calling out Elon. He says secret tax, and they're like, this is not a secret. They take the 30%. People know this. And come to find out, yes, people do know this. So the reason that this is coming up is that Apple has threatened to withhold Twitter from its app store entirely, but won't tell them why. We wonder why they might do it. It might be the same reason they held off apps like Parler and essentially probably ruined what could have been a meteoric rise for an app like Parler,
even though the interface on that app is pretty bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it was definitely getting a lot of users and a lot of traction, and then it just got torpedoed. That was one of the craziest things I've seen, of like just all of a sudden their website was down. They was like kicked off all the app stores plus their website down, and it's crazy how these tech companies have the power to just erase you from the internet if they don't like you.
Right. When you think about that, if they have the power to apply a 30% fee on you for your app being downloaded, but they're the only place that you can download apps, that's a pretty big chunk. And that's a pretty big, honestly, singular, you could call it a monopoly. I don't know if you can go as far as to call it a monopoly, because I guess there are other interfaces.
Well, the other one is
on
Google and Android, and they charge the same. And so Elon's contention is that it's a duopoly, and he's saying that the government should intervene under like antitrust laws, the DOJ.
But will they know? No, absolutely they will not. You think they want to make bad on what is a really good working relationship with Google and Apple? Absolutely not.
Right. And that's so our popcorns are out to see what happens between Twitter and Apple here. But also, Elon has promised to release the documents that show what Twitter was being instructed to do by the White House in reference to the Hunter Biden story and other things like with COVID and stuff over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I'm sure other big tech companies were complicit and narrative forming and censoring certain perspectives and information that they didn't like, etc. So it's going to be a fun and interesting ride. And, you know, again, we're, you know, you mentioned a criticism of Elon. We're not like, you know, he's not a saint or whatever, but we're definitely team Elon when it comes to the free speech and big tech censorship debate.
Certainly are when it comes to that. I don't know about other things that he engages in his personal life. But yeah, he did say the people and the public deserve to know what has been happening behind closed doors on these platforms that they are all engaging with each other on. So it'll be interesting to see. We already know with what was going on at Facebook and by relation, I guess now Meta, which is now by relation Instagram as well, that Mark Zuckerberg went on the Joe Rogan podcast and said, yeah, the FBI reached out to me and said, hey, can you shush things down on the Hunter Biden laptop for like 7 days, is what he said. Who knows how long it actually was? And he's like, well, they didn't directly ask me to censor. They just told me to basically shadow ban the people who were posting it and to limit the amount of eyes that could see the evidence that was being posted on the internet. So we didn't censor it, but it was at the request of the FBI. So what do you want me to do? And that's what they did.
The emperor has no clothes. All of the conspiracies are being revealed. This has just ended up being a conspiracy episode because we just covering the news these days is covering conspiracies at play, apparently.
And it's so weird because the more you hear about it, like the less it registers how horrible these things actually are. You hear about it so much and you just go, duh, that's what they're doing. Like, why would they not be? They have all this power, all of this influence. Why would they not utilize it to their own benefit or to the benefit of the government or XYZ or whatever? And then you hear it and you just go, there's another one, which is so wild and a sign of bad times. And it could just be that I'm chronically on the internet, which is also a problem. And maybe that's why these things are starting to become desensitized in my brain. But it also could be that it's just happening so much and the behemoth that is actually lying underneath the surface here is just so insurmountable that it just feels like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And that's where, you know, to your point earlier, we a lot of times react to this stuff, talk about it for 2 weeks, and then it's, you know, back to the status quo, or we just kind of come to terms with this is the reality. And in that sense, the onus is kind of on us to keep caring and keep speaking about it and keep calling it out and refusing to allow it to just be forgotten or normalized, as disheartening as it may be, for it to seem to be, you know, no matter how much outrage there is, that these people still are able to carry on in their capacities. But, you know, we're seeing, you know, again, there are chinks to be found in their armor, and there are vulnerabilities. And like, I think Elon edging out the and creating the space for free speech in Twitter is really opening up, like breaking that link in the chain that they've had over the narrative. And so hopefully that weakens their stranglehold, and then hopefully that there is enough about backlash over this Balenciaga stuff to like start to break down that stranglehold that the elites have over all this weird stuff that they're able to do without any recourse from the public. But anyways, what other choice do we have though, besides to speak about it and try to expose it and call it out, stand for truth?
The goal is to hopefully find these things before they become ad campaigns, before they go through this entire process of being created and put out to the world. Because as we found with this Balenciaga stuff, these artistic creators working for Balenciaga were putting out this sort of material for quite some time, out in the open, being cheered on by the likes of Marc Jacobs and their fellow colleagues and people who are inspired by their work. What inspiration looks like when it comes to child exploitation and torture and all of these things, I don't want to know what that looks like and what that means for people who are fans of these so-called creatives. But they are out in the open. And the out in the open is not necessarily the scary part. The scary part is what has happened in the time leading up to this that they now feel comfortable being out in the open. What groundwork and foundation have they laid for themselves that they now feel comfortable being open about these disgusting proclivities that they seem to have? And you can talk about it in the fashion industry. We could talk about it in Hollywood, and they seem to be directly linked. You can talk about it in the music industry, which also has its own slew of problems when it comes to this. I mean, we didn't even scratch the surface of just like child stars and how that was happening in the faces of so many people openly and outwardly, and nobody did a thing about it. So I think there will be many more stories to come on this subject matter, because while everybody may be shocked by what Balenciaga has put out, it really should not be that shocking at all for an industry that is known to suck the innocence out of children and utilize them in any way they see fit for their own personal disgusting gain. So we'll get into that further. We'll see what happens with Balenciaga, and we'll cover other industries that are doing the exact same thing that you may not even be aware of. And with that, we're going to move on to Super Chats, guys. Let's see what messages you've sent in today. The Philosophist, thank you for your Super Chat, says, where is the outrage from mainstream media? I think it's obvious that Balenciaga is flaunting the fact that nobody will stop them. The apology is a mockery. Probably. And the ties go deep. I mean, Balenciaga is a child company of an even larger corporation that owns a whole bunch of branched out fashion brands and jewelry brands and all these different things. And I should look up, there's a specific name, Balenciaga, parent company. It starts with like a K.
Caring.
So Caring owns all of these other, other fashion companies and things like that. So it's never right where you think it is. It's just always deeper. There's always more. There's always other owners and people who are invested in it. And that's when you start to get blackpilled. And you're like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do anything about this one because this is way bigger than just Balenciaga.
I just had a Star Wars quote that you're not going to get come in my head, but people in the chat, well, there's Qui-Gon said, there's always a bigger fish.
You know what? I still get it, even though I've not seen
it. There you go.
This next one is from Dash Fortune. Thank you for your Super Chat. What's the difference between a conspiracy and fact? About 3 months.
I've heard that one before.
It's so sad. It's so true, man. Oh my gosh. With so many different things that we've talked about. Yeah, it's just a matter of when is this accepted as fact. And with Balenciaga, hopefully that is soon. Steve Smith, thank you for your Super Chat. Says, almost cool. Thank you. And the other guy is okay.
Oh, I always get the okay. That's happened a few times.
The other guy's okay also. His name's Taylor, Steve. Doesn't like Australian dollars. I don't understand.
The guy
it's
who...
It's in parentheses. And the other guy's okay also. Doesn't like Australian dollars in parentheses.
Oh, maybe he heard me give a take on how I'm mad at Australia for being totalitarian during COVID.
Maybe. Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea. And this last one is from Juan. Thank you for your super chat. When is the interview with Destiny coming out? Guys, a part of it's coming out tomorrow. So we did a very long interview that we're going to cut up into separate videos for you guys. And we've released a couple shorts from Destiny and I talking together where we've reached some common ground on some issues that we've talked about. And tomorrow we'll be releasing the first part of that interview for you guys. We're excited for you to see it. I was supposed to film with Sneeko, but that got moved around. So we're hopefully going to do that very soon as well. We got more videos with Gothics coming out, and tomorrow I'm filming an interesting video with a trans rights activist and Buck Angel, who is a woman, a biological woman, who presents as a man and is totally anti-trans women in sports, is anti-kids transitioning, but happens to be a woman who presents masculinely, but also says, I know I'm a woman. I know I'm a biological woman. So trans rights activist who is a male to female transitioner and is fully on the board of children being able to transition, trans women being in sports, using whatever bathroom you choose, versus not quite the opposite, but somebody on the opposite side of the spectrum. And I will be sitting in the middle, moderating and adding my two cents into that conversation as we film tomorrow.
Whose idea was this?
Can you guys keep up?
Yeah, putting yourself right in the middle of this, literally.
But yeah, so it's going to be
interesting. It's going to be fascinating.
It is going to be fascinating.
Make for good content, so we're here for it.
And hopefully it'll be a respectful discussion that comes out this week that you guys get to see. And yeah, more coming up the pipeline. Anyways, guys.
Jubilee videos coming out in a few weeks.
Oh, yes.
Can we say you're going to be on Jordan Peterson's podcast
pretty soon? Yes, that too. So,
very pretty exciting soon. Things Can't going say when. On.
Yes.
In an apologetic Amala world.
Yeah, we got plenty. And we're keeping you guys all up to date, hopefully. Sometimes not as up to date as we'd like, on our Discord, which you can join in the description down below by going to the link. We do need your email verification in order to let you into the server. But once you are in there. We ask you about guest suggestions. I get questions for you. So if you have questions for the trans rights activists and the not-so-trans, transsexual person who I will be talking to tomorrow, you guys can give those to me through Discord, and I have been collecting them, and I have them on a dock for tomorrow's proceedings. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Comment down below. What do you think is going to happen with this Balenciaga story? Do you think it's going to all go away and the company's going to be fine? Do you think they're going to get slammed harder for this in a relentless wave of boycotting and calling out on the internet? Or is it somewhere in the middle? Let me know in the comments down below. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you again tomorrow. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we go live for you guys, which is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and we post every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll be back.